Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 Podcast 2023 F1 Calendar Edition. Oh, yeah, the new calendar has been announced for next year, and we wanted to get our teeth into it and really deep dive into what it's going to look like, what that could mean for us as fans, and the way in which Formula One is going and all sorts. And welcome to the podcast virtual booth, Tom Bellingham, the WTF1 founder. How many years have you been doing this now? 14 years? So it was like only yesterday.
Only 12.
That you were born. Yes, 12. Okay. And Katie, the WTF1 author, working hard on certain things, aren't we, behind the background and authoring?
You'd be authoring. I'd be authoring all day, every day. So
all day, every day. So yeah, welcome everybody. We're also live on Twitch, WTF1 Official. If you don't follow us already, we are actually putting this out on YouTube as well. So this is very exciting indeed. So welcome to every social media platform in the world. Right, 2023 calendar edition. So it's been announced, 24 races next year. Deep breath, soak it all in. Now for fans, I feel like it comes up every single year, because every single year Formula One announces a record-breaking calendar season. It's either 22, it's 23, it's 24 races.
So predictable.
Yeah, next year will be a record-breaking 25, then a record-breaking 26. And yeah, I think we'll be up to 30 very soon, which could well alienate quite a few drivers, to be honest with you, and people that work in Formula One. I've seen a lot of tweets. I think Scott Mitchell, who works for the race, was saying, oh, you know, looking forward to telling my other half the new calendar and stuff like this. And, you know, there's a big commitment from journalists, from team members and so on. But 24 races. What's your first thoughts?
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, we all love Formula One. We love it a lot. It's our passion. And at the end of the day, we're huge fans of it. And yet the majority of people seem to be like, this is too much. And it's weird that, like, this, we've got a mini summer break at the moment again, haven't we, because Russia was cancelled and there's a two week break. And it feels like a long time without racing, and it's nice to do stuff on the weekend, but you also kind of miss racing a little bit. But it's trying to find that balance of, we all love Formula One and want a lot of it, but there's a limit. And it is strange that in a sport where, you know, we've got loads of fans on our Twitter, we did a poll, 25,781 people voted on the poll that Katie did on Twitter. And a lot of people say 16 to 20 is how many, 45% of people say 16 to 20. And that's a weird, you don't get many sports.
Run us through the exact split, please, Tommy. Give us the full results.
1 to 15, 2%. So people don't want few.
Imagine, I want one race a year.
One race a year. Yeah.
I had to start somewhere.
I did see a funny. I did see a funny reply from someone that was a Ferrari fan that said, two races a year and we would have won. Sorry, Matt. 16 to 20. True. Yeah, true. 45.3%, 16 to 20, 39.3%, 21 to 24, and only 13.4%, 25 plus. It's a weird one that a sport, where we're all fans of the sport, people, the most popular answer is the second least option. Yeah.
I'm in that option. That's the one I voted for. And yes, I voted in a poll that I made because I'm a loser.
Cue in the results.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh no, it's fixed. But
AC Fairman, not a real fan of my book. Top 100 fan.
God, no, don't stop. But no, it's not really a surprise because the sporting regs changed to say that there could be a maximum of 24 races now in a year. So you kind of had an idea that this was going to happen. And Stefano Domenicali keeps saying every other weekend, oh, we've got so much interest from all these people. And they were promising contract extensions, you know, for China, for example. And that's a circuit that we haven't seen on the calendar for a few years. So we knew it's going to have to be on there, and Qatar and Las Vegas and all of these tracks that keep getting contract extensions. So we knew that there'd be a lot of races, but yeah, 24. It's too much, darling. It's too much.
Wow.
Where did that come from?
That was keeping it fresh. yeah, and my opinion, I was in the 21 to 24 category, was it? Was that what it was?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think that was about right. I think 24 is now... The thing is, right, we're all like, oh, it's too many. But at the same time, when we have a three-week break, we go, where's F1? So
100%.
It's difficult because I think when you take everything into account, you take into account all the personnel and how hard of a slog it is, you go, yeah, that's too much for them. And then also, it's a very fine line, this whole entertainment side of things as well, where you go, when does an F1 weekend stop being special? But then I'm such a hardcore F1 fan. I'm sometimes like, oh yeah, no, maybe we do need a couple of weeks off. So then it feels really cool again, rather than having a triple header. And you, at the end of the triple header, you go, oh, there's another F1 race. It's a really weird discussion, I find. Some people would like to treat them more as special events. I see someone in the Twitch chat right now, La Severine, says, nah, 18 races is perfect. But then other people are going, give us 52. I want one race a week.
Is that Stefano Domenicali saying that?
The entire year. And yeah, I don't have a massive problem with 24. I think I knew it was always going to, I kind of in my head was like, it's going to happen. They're not going to keep it at 100%. They're going to keep ramping up.
They had one a year.
Yeah, it's a briefcase full of free cash that Formula One is offered by teams, circuits, sorry. And they're not going to go, yeah, but the fans said 21. Okay, so I'm going to have to turn down your $20 million or whatever you're offering to be on the calendar. So I can fully expect that. But it's getting quite... I mean, also, there's the question of the drivers as well, and how do they feel about committing more and more and more of their lives? Because this isn't a football game. A football game, you turn up, you watch for 90 minutes, and you go home. This is commitment of time. If you are a proper F1 fan and you want to watch practice, qualifying, the race, that's over a three-day span.
It's a world calendar as well.
Yeah. There's so many aspects to talk about, and I'm sorry, I've kind of gone off on a tangent. Let's keep with the questions. This isn't actually a question. This is just a general statement of a question that Tom has put in the podcast sheet. It's not from anybody, at nobody. 24 races, a new record. Is it too many? So I think I'm not going to say it's too many. I think it's bordering on a bit crazy. Katie, you think it's too many?
I think it's ever so slightly too many. I think, yeah, between the brackets of 16 to 20 is a good, solid amount of races. But if we've got 24 this year, like you said, it'll be 25 next year. And it's like, when does it stop? So
You can go back to one of our podcasts where we talked about the calendar before, and guaranteed we had this conversation where, you know, when they make changes to the Concord Agreement and they go to allow this many, and they just add one each year. Mm. And the problem is it's just crept up, and you go, yeah, 24 is getting a bit ridiculous. And we'll be doing this like 3 years time going, Yeah, 27 is getting a bit too much.
and it
is crazy that by adding one a year, you kind of almost don't notice it. Whereas you kind of forget that when we kind of started watching or whatever, it's like 20 or whatever, 18.
18,
or,
yeah.
18, probably 16 when I started watching because it was
back
forever
in 1950.
Yeah, 1950 when there were 8 races
six
a year.
6 races, yeah.
So yeah, it just creeps up again and again. But it's one of those things from a selfish fan point of view that gets to enjoy it watching from home, then sign me up because I miss weekends when there's no F1 on. I like the occasional weekend where I can do something different, but when it's not on, I do miss it. But there is always that part of you that goes, these poor mechanics and journalists, like, even though they love it, you've got to love Formula One to be part of it. But that doesn't mean that you should just not have a life. And people compare it to football and go, oh, there's 40 people play, 40 football games, but they play 40 football games in the UK or their whatever country you're in. This is later down the line, but some of the switching between races is just obscene. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the stress of traveling, I find, is just a lot anyway. I can't imagine doing it 24 times in a year.
Absolutely. And also the extension of the race calendar allows for more Ferrari blunders. So that's something I'm not a big fan of either. So if we could just halve
chances
it,
to miss,
that would be
make
great.
Mistakes.
Yeah, 24 chances to put the hard tyres on. When they are clearly not the tyre to go on. Right, so we had a competition open in August on the DHL Commentator Challenge portal to give one of you guys the chance to win an exclusive experience at F1 testing in 2023. Entries have now closed and loads of you entered. We have reviewed the entries and the three best commentators will now go through to the next stage of the competition. Now we've got winners Jack from Ireland, Hugh from Australia, and Nicholas from the USA. And now we've picked Nicholas to play for you right now for us to react to. Tommy, I think that was your favourite, actually, Nicholas. It's the middle sector of Silverstone. Now, congratulations to those three, and someone will be in touch with more details. And we're also going to get in touch with the top 15 entries to gift you guys some merch. So look out for that if you entered. And if you want the chance to enter, don't worry, the actual competition is still open, just not the WTF1 portal bit. So you could still win an amazing prize to go to testing. So go to the link in the description to take part. All right. So we've got the clip ready. Is everyone ready?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, play. Nicholas from the United States. Here we go. What's he got?
Here we are for a rundown of Sector 2 at Silverstone.
Rundown. That was one of the words. Rundown reaction fanboy.
13th time at his home track. And I wish I was among the fans roaring him along in the grandstands. I'm not a fanboy, though. Just passionate. We'll head now towards Cox Corner, the site of Hamilton Shunt with rival Max Verstappen in last year's race. The Dutchman would finish this one down in 7th with car troubles. Approaching the complex of Maggots and Becketts now, just a slight lift off the throttle into Club. The first two corners of the complex, of course, are flat out. And then we'll head on to the hangar straight. The reaction from the Mercedes pit wall was certain to be positive. The 7-time champion, Sector 2 time, quickest of all at 36.58 seconds.
There you go.
Very good.
Smashed all
Excellent.
Three of the words. I thought they would actually be quite difficult in that competition because they had to use those three words in the commentary. But I'd say smashed it, right?
Nailed it.
Brilliant.
Right, good work, Nicholas. Well done to Hugh and Jack as well. You three will progress the competition further. And yeah, very proud of all of you. Well done for getting involved. At Dragonslayer_9, what do you think the golden number of races is? The golden number for Matt Gallagher is...
Should we say it at the same time? We'll go 3, 2, 1. And we'll...
Okay.
At the same
all
time.
Right. You count it down.
3, 2, 1. 20.
20.
Oh, all close then.
2021 and 22. Fair. I think that's... Look at us go, hey? Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Who'd have thought? What do we think in the chat? We've got 25, 25, 20, 20, 21, 24, 22, 19, 22, 24, 20, 21, 22, 19, 20, 22, 21, 30, 26, 21, 20, 52.
52?
Thanks, Dom.
69. 20, 24,
22, 22, 21, 69.
Just... Yeah, double headers.
99. Wow. Okay. 8. Yeah. Now that we've started reading them out, lots more silly numbers are coming out. But I feel like low 20s is sort of the vibe here. So interesting stuff. At Hartford Al 406, why aren't the races grouped together geographically? Spreading four races in North America over the course of the season seems odd. It is odd, but it's something that Formula One clearly have their reasonings for, perhaps to utilize financial gain. So I can't imagine it's for an environmental impact or trying to be net zero carbon by 2030. What's that? Sorry, Tommy?
They'll say it is, though.
Oh, yeah. They logistically could do things a lot better, 100%, having Canada in June the 18th and having Miami on May the 7th. Come on.
Yeah.
Just move that around a little bit. If you have to put Monaco in the sea and just leave that there, and put
that's fine.
And it has been, isn't it? It's been extended to 2025. Tommy, very happy about that one.
Good times. More crying from
that
people.
That in one example is a bit mad.
That is the one that stands out to me as well, that you essentially go to Azerbaijan, which is kind of Europe, because they do Eurovision. That's how I'm judging it.
Geography so with Tommy.
It's borderline Europe, isn't it? Azerbaijan in Europe. Then you go to North America for one race. Then you go back to Europe for three races. Then you go back to North America for one race. Then you go back to Europe. I mean, how is that? How does that make sense? And the problem is, I guess, calendar, tracks have their slots, don't they, in the calendar? And they've kind of kept them there. And for me, that's the one that really stands out to me. And also Las Vegas and Abu Dhabi back to back, which I saw a tweet from, I think it was Valtteri Bottas, but not Valtteri Bottas, Voltas. Yes, that guy. Valtteri Voltas, yeah. Who tweeted about the fact that that's a back-to-back race. So a week apart, technically. A little longer because it's on a Saturday. It's a 19-hour, 5-minute flight, and it's back to back. Fun times. Good luck.
Makes perfect sense. Well, look, you have an extra few hours because, of course, Las Vegas is racing at a ridiculous time on the Sunday morning, aren't they? They're racing at like 1 a.m. They're just turned to Sunday.
Yeah.
So it gives them plenty of time, Tommy. I don't know what you're on about. But that's financial, right? They want Las Vegas, this big old event, to be the penultimate race of the season. Their fingers crossed there's going to be some sort of championship showdown there. It's all financial. There's no environmental thought here when they first make the deal, is there?
They were going to group them together, though, didn't they? They definitely said that at one point they were going to try and do it. So you have
the option.
Try. No, we tried. Didn't
we
work.
Tried. The money was too much. Sorry.
Yeah.
Crazy. No, one person on TikTok, Amy Crunch, her name is. I saw her video on my few page yesterday, and I wanted to give her a shout out because she's put together a diagram where she's color coded where all the races are, and then worked out how long the flights are between each event. And obviously, some people are going to be either flying directly there, or certain bits might get sent by ship or be driven in vans and stuff like that. But it's still, like you say, ridiculous. And also the fact that we could have back-to-back events in Europe, like last year in Austria, rings a bell. We went from, we did a double header in Austria. We did Styria and Austria, whatever. And people still went back to their bases in the UK to go back again a few days later. And I remember at the time I was like, why would you not just stay there for 5 days and keep your carbon footprint down and all this kind of stuff? But people made fair things of actually, I quite like to see my family because we're on the road so much anyway. I don't get a chance to see them. So this was a chance to spend a few days with my kids or my partner or whatever. But yeah, just because this is what the calendar looks like doesn't mean that every single person in the F1 circus is going to be going straight from Bahrain to Saudi. They might go to Bahrain and then have to go back and do some work on the simulator for a day or two and then fly back to Saudi. So the whole calendar is just ridiculous, to be honest. And they're making all of these pledges about being net carbon zero and all this stuff by 2030. What do they think? They're just going to be able to plant a few trees and people are going to be like, oh yeah, well done, that's really great. Yes, some fans, I know
exactly what they're going to do.
Well, I understand being an F1 fan and, you know, caring for the environment and all this kind of stuff is massively ironic. Sebastian Vettel gets asked about it all the time when he does these talks about how we need to take care of our planet and all this kind of stuff. And they're like, well, you take part in F1, so you're just a massive hypocrite. But at the same time, F1 fans do still have some conscience on the fact that it is a ridiculous calendar and that there are these pledges that the championship's making. And I don't know, it just feels a bit weird that they're doing all this and then not kind of backing it up by saying we're going to be doing A, B, C and D to try and combat the fact that we've got all of these flights. And I understand as well that, you know, the flights that the F1 calendar have might be the tiniest drop in the ocean compared to general air travel that we have. But it's still, like you say, crazy to go from Azerbaijan to Miami to back to Imola. Like, it just, it's a very strange calendar.
At the end of the day, it's the infrastructure as well. And like you say, it's the traveling and all that side, which is the main environmental concern. It's ironic that probably you could have a gas guzzling V12 engine and have 15 races a year, but actually that's probably more environmentally friendly than a 30 race calendar where you're shipping thousands of people off around the world all the time, because that's realistically what's causing the problem. The engine is just the kind of, like, when you just look at it from face value, a lot of people look at Formula One and go, oh, that's not very environmentally friendly, that it's a sport where they're driving around in circles and using fuel, but
they're going nowhere.
But that side of it is not actually the main problem, is it? The 2 hours on a Sunday where they're driving around is nothing compared to all the thousands of people that are getting flights and all the people coming over and everything they have to put on and all this kind of stuff. So
now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. How well would you take care of your car if you had to keep the same one for your entire life? That's how our brains work. So why don't we treat them that way? It's an interesting point, really, because how we care for our minds affects how we experience life. So it's important to invest time and care into keeping them healthy. Thankfully, there are plenty of ways to support a healthy brain, like learning a new language or taking power naps. There's also BetterHelp Online Therapy. If you've never tried therapy before, I would absolutely say it's worth a try. Just getting that weight off your shoulders is something I myself have personally experienced. BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat-only therapy sessions, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It is much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. So if you want to try it out, which I absolutely do recommend, WTF1 listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/WTF1. That's betterhelp.com/WTF1.
But yeah, it is the interesting point, Tommy, is the fact that it's not the F1 cars that really cause the pollution. It is the big jumbo jets and the big things transporting the whole circus, as opposed to the cars themselves, even though the cars themselves are the ones that get the most publicity as to what they're doing to make them more green. And they're using greener fuels in the cars now and 10% synthetic, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, that's always the forefront of what they talk about, but it's usually not the biggest factor. Next question, Albert V. Pedersen. What do you think about the balance between street tracks and normal tracks? Well, let's go through it, shall we? Bahrain, March the 5th. That's not a street track. Saudi Arabia, 2 weeks later. That's a street track. Australia, kind of a street track. Still known as a street track, isn't it? Even though no one really thinks of it as a street track. China. So we've got 2 weeks between Bahrain and Saudi Arabia. Then we've got another 2 weeks between Saudi Arabia and Australia. Oh, and then you've got another 2 weeks between Australia and China. I'm not happy about this already. I don't like the fact that...
More races. That's what we need.
Shocking. And then it's another 2 weeks between China and Azerbaijan. Wow. Okay. So Azerbaijan, street track. Okay. So that's quite a few already. And then you've got Miami, another street track. Okay. Wow. We've got a lot of street tracks, I'm just realizing. And that's a week later. Then you've got 2 weeks to Emilia-Romagna. Not a street track. And then Monaco, street track. We all know what that's about. So that's into the triple header, Imola, Monaco, and then Spain. And then 2 weeks to Canada. And then another 2 weeks to Austria. Then 1 week to Britain. So these are all non-street tracks. This is where Tommy really is hurting. He hasn't seen some Wolves for a while and he's really upset. Then you've got another 2 weeks to Hungary. It's supposed to be Monaco without the Wolves, but still not a street track. Sorry, Tommy. Then a week to Belgium. So Belgium is actually before the summer break, which will feel weird.
How weird is that?
Yeah, that's going to be very weird.
It's going to feel really strange.
And also, we should probably clarify this now, right? That the 24 hours of Spa is not going to be happening on the same weekend as when Formula One go there.
No.
Because a lot of people saw that.
On the go-kart track. Yeah.
Oh my God, yes, do that. Might be a better race. It's not been a good race at Spa for all. No, a lot of people jumped on that straight away, but the Spa 24 hours changed to 30th of June to the 2nd of July, because a lot of people going, yes, it could be the support race, but it's a 24-hour race, so you're just going to have, like, everything goes around it. That'd be quite fun. That would make Spa more interesting if you had GT
really
cars
dangerous.
Going around. No, not dangerous at all.
I'm keen for it, to be honest. I think, you know, it's funny how, so they've rescheduled it now, right? But it was clearly something that F1 have gone, well, you know, you've got that thing going on. 24 hours of Spa, is it? Yeah, that's not going to happen anymore. We need it, okay? But you're usually after the summer break. No.
You just know Formula One does that as well. They put their calendar down and go, right, don't care. If anyone's in the way, tough luck. One thing they have done this year is that it doesn't clash with Le Mans, so that's nice.
Well done. Do you want a sticker?
Wow. Oh, savage. Love to see it. Kathy popping off. So Belgium, final race before the summer break, and then we're into that awful month of August until we then come back to the Netherlands. There isn't a street track, but there's quite close walls.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So I'd say that's half a street track. Then you got September the 3rd, which is a week after for Italy. Monza, of course, that would be. And then Singapore 2 weeks after that, definitely a street track. Then you've got Japan a week after that, then 2 weeks to Qatar.
That's a street track. Yeah, that's a street track, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Indeed.
Have we seen it?
No, it's not confirmed, but it's going to be a street circuit.
Because it's not
LaSalle
International.
No, it's not that one, no. If they finish it in time, they've kind of got a World Cup to host whilst also trying to build a Grand Prix circuit, but I'm sure they'll do it.
Maybe we'll just have it around the football pitch.
Yeah.
United States, COTA, 2 weeks after. I shouldn't say the US Grand Prix because there's more than one now.
17 of them.
Yeah, it's three. So COTA on October the 22nd, then a week after that, Mexico. Hey, that makes sense. Look at you go, F1. Look at you doing the flying quite close thing. So that's a week after to Mexico, and then it's a back-to-back-to-back, and then it's to Brazil. So it's a triple header of COTA, Mexico, and Brazil. And then just less than 2 weeks later, because Las Vegas is kind of essentially on a Saturday evening / Sunday morning, it's the penultimate race there. And then Abu Dhabi straight after that, finishing on November the 26th. So we're not even into December anymore.
It's only eight then, isn't it? Only eight. Is that right? Eight street tracks. If you count that, some of them are loose, like say Canada and Melbourne and stuff. But so the balance is not a huge amount. I guess the more concern is the fact that you don't see really any new tracks that aren't street tracks. Zandvoort's an exception. We all know that they've just bought that back, really.
Chat is saying that it is LaSalle.
No.
Pretty sure it wasn't.
I think they hosted it there as a one-off, and then they're going to come back and do 10 years.
I think it was quite
track.
Confusing how they announced it, but as far as
they announced, I think
they used a picture of the track when they did their announcement, but I don't think it'll be that track.
But it might well be, because they've actually got a track
not.
There.
The 2021 race was in LaSalle, and then, they've moved to a new that's not even built yet, purpose-built circuit.
We're definitely going to LaSalle, aren't we? I mean, it's just
well, they might happen. Do. Yeah, it might still happen.
But it's a nice backup in case they can't.
Planned it. So to answer the question, a fair few street tracks. At the moment, I feel like it's a fine balance because I do like street tracks. I just don't want the whole calendar to be street tracks. And that's the worry that it's getting that way, that more and more places are going to fall off the calendar. Well, I know Spa's stayed, but go on.
Interestingly, in the actual calendar itself, it says LaSalle.
Oh.
2023 Formula One calendar says LaSalle.
So that is confusing. Okay.
Is Tommy spreading fake news?
Well, that was what the original plan was going to be. So they've obviously gone, yeah, it's going to be a lot of
build.
Building a whole circuit is going to be a lot. So yeah, fair.
Wow. Tommy.
I'm surprised at that then.
They've gone back on their word.
Interesting.
I love street tracks. So I don't know if that's a hot take. Maybe let's have that for hot take Wednesdays, but I love a street track. So I'd be quite happy for it to be a balance between the two. At least you don't have to worry about bloody track limits on street tracks, do you? If you go over, you're in a wall. So there we go. But maybe that's because I spent too much time watching Formula E.
Am I the only one on this podcast that is against street tracks? Like,
I prefer
street tracks.
What was the chat saying? Street track or
chat are calling you a fraud? To be fair to me,
yeah, no, because I don't know, Qatar. I don't mind there being. I think 8's a good number, but like I say, the concerning thing is it's going to be 20 years down the line when I'm 742 years old.
But still look like that.
They still look like this. There'll probably be 20 street tracks and about 4 permanent circuits, let's be honest. That's the way it's going, isn't it?
Hopefully by then you drop your skincare routine, hun.
Hun! You did not just call him hun.
Absolutely, I've called him worse. Right, next up. We've kind of mentioned Las Vegas being on a Saturday, so that's our next thing that we've kind of covered. Question from Epic Freestyler 8. What do you think about China and Qatar returning and France not being on the calendar? Well, strictly racing related, I bloody well love China. I don't think we're going to race at China, though, by the looks of things. It seems as though that may well still not happen due to the whole COVID situation. But I love Shanghai International Circuit. It's one of my favourite. I think it's one of the most underrated circuits on the calendar. I will keep flying the flag for the Shanghai International Circuit. It's a great track. And Qatar... Well, we think it's a sale now after Tommy being defrauded. And France not being on the calendar, could not care less. Thanks so much, Paul Ricard.
It's been fun. No,
you had one good race. Take care of yourself and we'll see you 2000 and never.
Oh, shots fired. No, I'm not too bothered about France not being on the calendar. We're quite fortunate in Europe that we do have a lot of races here. So although it's very sad for poor Estee Bestie and Pierre Gasly and Alpine that they've not got their home race, that's a shame. Next question. But no, I don't think China will be on the calendar next year because it seems to be extremely strict rules when it comes to entering the country at the moment. So, yeah, I don't know what we're going to do there. We've had it before where China's been on the calendar and then it's sort of fallen through in the pandemic. So I feel like this could be another case of that. But maybe with Zhou on the grid, they might really want to go there.
I don't think they can do that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be able to push it through because of the Chinese driver. Screw the rules.
Well, the Chinese government might have a slightly more lenient view of it or something if... I don't know.
They might race with no people there.
No fans. Might just be Zhou on his own.
just Zhou Guanyu. You're the only one allowed in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really know what, like France, I'm not bothered about, like you say, and I'm glad you guys agree. It's not like as well the French Grand Prix. People in France that you know, you've got a lot of local races there that you can go to. I think we in Europe are quite lucky that we have a lot of close races because, you know, if like France has gone off the calendar, but if you live in France, you're not that far from Monaco Spain, Belgium, Netherlands, Italy, depending on where you live in France anyway, even the UK. So there's plenty of races there. It's not a well-loved track. China, I'm with you, Matt, is the most, one of the most underrated circuits in the world. I think it's great. And it always provides good racing as well, despite what a lot of people think that they see it as like a boring one, even though I can remember so many good races there. And I Qatar. That's
by 2012.
Yeah.
Shumi robbed,
yeah.
Shut up.
Not of a win. He was never going to win. But he was
cry more.
Tears collector.
You can come at Leclerc. You come at Schumacher. This is it. It could go off the rails very quickly.
But Qatar.
10 world champion in my book.
Coming from a Rosberg fan. Jesus.
Oh. Welcome to Hot Takes Wednesday.
At least he could beat the Mercedes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Pop off, Queen. Right. What were you saying?
Yeah, Qatar, that track was okay, but it wasn't that interesting, was it? I'd much like maybe a new track would be cool, but I'm washed and it doesn't exist.
You are washed. I completely agree with that one. As you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to tap into the world's largest professional network with over 30 million people in the UK. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster, and you can post a job for free. Just visit linkedin.com/WTF1. Again, that's linkedin.com/WTF1 to post a job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Right, I think that's covered that. Will Amos 13, which three would you drop and which three would you replace them with?
Spain.
Ooh, okay, yeah. Yes. Well, Tommy... Oh, do you want to go first, Tommy? There you go.
Yeah.
You
go.
I just say we're all going to pick Spain, aren't we? Go on, you go.
No, go on. Yeah, you haven't thought of the other two, have you? Right. I would drop Spain. I would also drop.
I've got mine. Shall I go?
Yeah, go on.
I would drop Spain. I would drop Abu Dhabi. And I would drop Miami.
Mm. Ooh, that's a very good list.
Spain, don't care. It's a terrible circuit. Abu Dhabi is an awful finale, and not a great circuit. Miami, I'm not against Miami. Maybe like rotating with Las Vegas or something like that. For me, Miami and Vegas seem to be the same vibe of
money,
and influencers and rich people coming, and not like a proper circuit for the actual everyday American Formula One fan, which there are loads of, despite what people think. So I'd get rid of them, and I would replace them with Sepang, because that has to come back. Please,
yeah,
come back, Sepang. And then what else are we missing? Maybe Hockenheim.
Nürburgring.
Yeah. No, Kyalami.
Kyalami, yes.
That'd be good because we need a race in.
Where is the South Africa GP? Thought it was getting announced.
It's not happening, is it? I think they've delayed it potentially a year. For the 25 race record, breaking calendar next year. And then Abu Dhabi, I would replace with Interlagos again and make it the finale.
Nice. Two races.
Two races, yeah.
Okay, I would drop
Spain. And it's closer
Spain.
To Vegas.
True. I'm not going geographical as well here. That's far
no,
too complicated.
No, true, yeah.
I would drop Spain, I would drop Qatar, and I would drop Singapore.
Are you joking?
Never gets me excited, Singapore, really, as Singapore. A track. But as a place, maybe to visit, sure. But I'm talking about the racing here.
No,
okay?
I like it.
It's a street track. Okay. Maybe that was my fourth worst. Maybe I've jumped the gun. But no, I would genuinely put Singapore as one of my least favorite tracks. But Spain, I would replace with Hockenheim. I'm going to commit to it and say Singapore, I would replace with Sepang. And Qatar, I would replace with... I think that there might be a good place to go in... Portimao. Let's go back there.
Portimao's a good shout. I just saw that in the chat, actually. I'd probably change my mind based on if I'm not allowed to have Interlagos again. Yeah, Portimao's a good shout.
Yep. So there you go. And Katie, what are your three?
My three are, I'm going to say Miami, but I do feel like maybe we got shafted a bit with TV direction because there were loads of overtakes and we didn't seem to see much, but I'll go Miami, Spain, and Qatar, and then I'd replace them. And you could do it geographically. You could get rid of Miami and put like Hockenheim there. You're, that's in Europe.
You're like one of those GeoGuessr TikToks. Yeah. They're like, I'm going to find this place in 0.1 seconds. Yep.
So get rid of Miami and put Hockenheim or something. Get rid of Spain and put Portimao. And then for Qatar, maybe bring back Malaysia. But I do also miss the F1 race in India. I don't know if it's maybe I'm nostalgic and it's got a lot of good memories associated circuit. With it, but maybe switch that and make it an Indian Grand Prix or a Malaysian one.
Wasn't the worst track in the world.
No, it wasn't. Never got.
It was kind of.
I'd be interested to see how like the new F1 cars would be on a track like that, like the Indian Grand Prix, the South Korean Grand Prix, things like that would be cool. But
the only time I ever see that track shown in anything ever is when Hamilton haters make a compilation of him crashing into people, and then I think he crashed into Massa there, didn't he?
Yeah,
that's the only time I ever see that.
That was
track
the Mr. Bean moment, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was the Mr.
When
Bean
he
moment.
Wins his fourth title and he bows down to the car. That was in India.
We've not mentioned Turkey. Turkey's been.
Turkey.
I do love Turkey, but it's been Turkey.
I've been bamboozled.
Turkey.
That's all. I mean, there's so many good tracks.
Turkey, but I think
Turkey instead of Hockenheim. Definitely.
Nah, screw you. Yeah. Hockenheim's nah, over it. Banger. Nah, look, come on. I think Turkey's had its time. Let's have Hockenheim. Come on. Hockenheim have a little go, and then Turkey can come back. Turkey can come back if they have that really greasy track again. All right, that's when I'll allow it. Right, next question. And we've already covered the Belgian GP. Same, that's fine. That question's in the bin. Penalties and power units. Well, we're moving away from the calendar for a second. Love it. Max Springer 2. This is nothing to do with the calendar, kind of to do with the calendar, a little bit. How many power unit elements will they need to prevent the last quarter of the season from being a mess of engine penalties? It's bad enough with 22 races. 24 will only make the issue worse. I believe there will be an understanding. Maybe an extra allocation because, of course, there's more races get introduced. Of course, you can't. I mean, we've already seen with 22, as Max says, it'd be bad enough. We've seen a ridiculous amount of penalties in Monza and in Spa. And I fully expect probably in the last, how many races have we got left? Six?
Six, yeah.
Six races, that there'll be a whole host of penalties once again. I mean, Bottas.
Mexico. Are
Bottas
you ready for
is
Mexico?
On his 100th engine, it looks like, on his allocation when you see the graphic come up. So I think there's going to be an understanding that maybe there's one extra engine that's needed for teams, especially with it being 24 races. That's how that would make the most sense from the FIA standpoint. But we will see.
It would make the most sense, but then I guess you're saying that it's only one extra race, and then they'll just 100%.
Well, 22 races this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, but we're not going to race in China, so it'll be 23. But yeah, I get your point. But if you look at the percentage of the calendar to give that extra allocation for, I don't think they're going to do it anyway. Personally, if they could give them an extra engine, and I guarantee there'll still be engine penalties, particularly if you like Bottas. I mean, like you say, how many has he gone through? You give him an extra allocation.
Alpha been washed this year.
Yeah, but
for engines.
But if you think that, I think Lewis Hamilton as well showed that fresh engine at Interlagos and all that, that is actually kind of worth it just to take an allocation. halfway through the season. I still think teams would just do it anyway. So there's not really a lot they can do other than...
I think Mercedes are a bit of an anomaly, though, for that, right? Like, they had an unbelievable car, and being able to turn that engine up to a 11, like, not any other team could really have done that. That they
did that last year in Monza with Bottas. He went, like, to the back on Sunday and then was on the podium.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. From a dominant team's perspective, it's fine. But if you're any teams other team will all do it, really.
Yeah. I still feel like they'll all take a load of engine penalties at Spa and Monza anyway. It just seems to be what they do.
So you think they're going to keep with three for next year?
Yes.
Over 24 races, they're going to have three engines.
Yeah.
They're going to be using pedals by the end, like literal like bicycle pedals.
I've kind of changed
my... holes in the floor of the car and then just
Fred
run.
Flintstone.
I've changed my whole opinion on it anyway, that I like the shuffled grid now. Yeah.
Oh, Tommy.
I'm one of those now.
You're such a flip-flopper, aren't
I know.
You?
How dare you change my opinion?
No. I don't know. I think if F1 want to be sensible, which doesn't seem to be a word that's in their vocabulary at the moment, I would go for like 5 power units.
Oh, well, have two more.
Have two more. Because I think we already in this calendar need one more. So why not just chuck another one on? But
why not just spend even more?
Why don't you have 10? Go on, just have 10.
It's just it's like the Oprah. You get another engine, you get another one. But I don't know. I just find the whole penalty and power unit swapping and madness and stuff crazy. But then it's just proven, like with Bottas in Monza, he took a penalty, but apparently he already had sort of 2 engines in the pool already. So they're kind of just using tracks where they can overtake and stuff like that and going with it. So even if they get more engines, will that stop them from doing that? Maybe not. But people have been suggesting like taking a percentage of their championship points away rather than back of the grid penalties to stop big teams from just doing like adding loads to their pool. But I don't know. It's goes from like being even more complicated of trying to explain to fans, this person's got a 25 place grid penalty, but he's not at the back of the grid, to like, oh, well, actually Red Bull had 6% of their championship points taken away because they've gone over a certain number allocations. Like any way is going to be complicated unless they just give more, like expand the allocation.
And I guess for casual fans, a lot of them just watch the race anyway. So they're there on the grid and they just see engine penalty and go, okay. Whereas I guess it's confusing for when you're like there watching all the sessions and you still don't know 3 hours after qualifying who's done what. But it's funny you mention about Spa and Monza. Maybe they just need to stop them doing it at Spa and Monza and they have to do it at a different track.
It's an interesting point, isn't it? Like the teams tactically
it's the free pass, isn't it? Because they're always going to do it, right, at Spa. Happens every year.
It does pose the question, and I don't know how this would be done fairly, but allowing teams to take an extra engine when they already have engines in their allocation, that just for me seems like obviously they're exploiting the system a little bit.
They're doing the loophole, like you say. You can, like Katie said, you know, give them 5 engines, they'll still probably go, oh, I fancy an extra one at Spa because you know. The Ferraris and Red Bulls will know that they can just minimum they get in a podium anyway because they'll just fly past everyone. So you just
maybe they should be penalized depending on how many points they are ahead of the in the championship. So if Mercedes take an extra engine, they have a percentage further back from the back of the grid. So say they are 20% ahead of the next team, they start 20% of the circuit length behind. So they'll start in the middle sector somewhere.
The other ones, the grid penalties were confusing.
That is easy to understand.
Can you tell Matt's a Leclerc fan?
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't affect Ferrari, would it? They never lead anything ever. Right.
They've got a really good engine as well. Doesn't blow up all the time or anything.
They had a really good engine in 2019, but I'm not sure how that happened.
Good night.
Oh, Katie, have you had your tea today?
I did in my WTF1 mug. It was lovely.
Oh dear, good stuff. Well, that is going to wrap up today's podcast. Tommy, final thoughts?
My final thoughts are
I'm looking forward to the next race.
I apologize that my wheel knowledge is so poor that I didn't realize that Qatar had changed their entire plans and are not doing a street circuit anymore. So I was I thought that would be an interesting to say. Yeah, I know, but got a race at that MotoGP circuit instead, which is not really suitable for F1 cars.
It's pretty tough on the tyres, though. It made for some interesting tyre blowouts last time. And an Alonso podium.
Oh, actually, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Best circuit ever.
It wasn't bad considering it's supposed to be a MotoGP track. It was not bad at all. And maybe with these new cars, it'd be even better. Because it was a decent race last time out. Katie, final thoughts?
My final thoughts are... we've just sat here and mind about how many races there are. So I hope everybody's actually enjoying the little break that we've got between now and Singapore and just seeing friends.
No, because everyone's going to be going, oh, when's the next race? Including myself.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Like, just,
I'm like, as if there's not a race this weekend.
I just
you can just go back and listen to every WTF1 podcast if you miss it. There we go.
But Tommy goes back through the archive and just listens to
himself. Go listen to your own voice.
Wonderful. Well, I love listening to my own voice.
I agree with Tom Bellingham a lot here, actually.
He is a great podcaster.
I'm just looking forward to the season being over. So they can
you can't say looking forward after you take the piss out of us every week.
Okay, I am rather...
Excited.
No, but genuinely, I cannot wait for the season to end so that everyone can be on 0 points again next year and I can get back on the... I can get out the hoodie, the Ferrari hype train out of the dusty wardrobe where it's been sat for a while and really get back on that hype train. For another year of depression. But unfortunately, we've got another 6 races to go, which is a madness. But thank you, everyone, as always, for watching and listening. Thank you for watching live on Twitch. We'll come and chat to you for a little bit after this podcast ends. And yeah, take care. Adios. Hashtag WTF1 podcast. If you want to get involved in the discussion, give us 5 stars, please. And we will read the next one out on our race review podcast. So if you give us 5 stars, give us a reason why. We'll read it out. All right. Bye. Tommy's
bye.
Muted. Tommy's
I'm
muted. Bye.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.